So the bridge of that last song that we, or I guess the second chorus of that last song we just sang, is one of my favorite lyrics, and it was actually part of my quiet time this morning as I prayed that I would continually breathe in God's grace, and that everything that I say and everything that I do would be breathing out His praise. So I just love that song. Thanks to these guys for leading. So here we go. We're going to talk about relationships, but I'm going to forewarn you real quick. We're not going to talk about the relationships that you think we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about like all relationships. Okay. So all encompassing. So don't worry. We're not talking about like, do you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Cause you're wrong. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about relationships in general. So last time I spoke on worship, and I gave you just a few fun facts about myself. So I'm going to do the same thing tonight, just so you can get to know me better, you know, like a relationship, right? Right? Okay. So you guys know my wife, Stephanie. Yes? Nod? Yes? No?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do any of you guys go to Dory? Anyone? A few of you guys? Yeah, she's the choir director there. You should do choir. I'm just saying. You should do choir. Yes, you do know her. Good. All right. So, yes, I have a wife named Stephanie. She is really cool, and she's the choir director. I am a highly disputed among this crowd cat person. I'm a cat person, not a dog person. Yeah. So you can send hate mail to bdoherty@cfbc.org. Hey, Jesus was the Lion of Judah, so that's a cat. I'm just saying. All right. So let me see here. One of my go-to questions, any of you guys that know me, is if you could design, create, and devour the ultimate shish kebab, what would be on it and why? Right? It's a really good get-to-know-you question. So I want you to look at your neighbor next to you and tell them what would be on your shish kebab right now. See, you can get to know a lot about a person. Yes. All right. So we're going to come back up here. Come on back up here. So my shish kebab, I would have steak, grilled pineapple, red onions, purple potatoes, and a little slice of like a cinnamon apple at the end. That's just what I'm feeling today. It changes. It's not always the same. So another fun fact about me, I just started grad school, so that's exciting. I'm studying theology in grad school, so that's exciting. That's something fun. And we are having midterms this week, right? Because, midterms this week because next week is spring break, right? So right now, yes, which is, what is a midterm, right? It's like a test halfway through the semester to talk about, pretty much test you on everything that you've learned up to that point, right? So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to take a midterm for this semester. So what have we talked about so far at LinkedIn this semester since January? What was the first thing that we studied?
Jesus.
Jesus 101, right. We studied Jesus as Jesus' birth, Jesus as a teenager, Jesus as a man, Jesus as a savior, right? Right? Yeah, so that's what we did. Then what's this series that we've been on? Stewards, yes. So what have we talked about so far? Ryan mentioned it earlier. This is like open book right now. Time, talents, and your mind. Yes, awesome. So tonight we're going to talk about relationships. My last fun fact that I'm going to give you is that I am a huge nerd. Like you have no idea. Like I am one of these people that if I don't know something, I'm the person that will like lock myself in a corner and like research about it, okay? So I know a lot of random junk about things that nobody really cares about and nobody, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like just as an example, right now, my obsession, all right, come on. You're honeybees. Honeybees, okay? I am like obsessed with honeybees. And I've wanted to be a beekeeper for a long time. You're getting to know me, really. Ryan's even like, what the heck? So I've wanted to be a beekeeper for a long time. So the other day, I started doing a ton of research about bees. And these things are like fascinating. Honeybees are like crazy, okay? They're these little creatures, and everybody's like scared of them, right? Because they're, it's like, oh, it's gonna sting me. But the whole thing is without honeybees, we would have like no food to eat. You realize that like 90% of all of the food that's like grown, so grains, vegetables, all that kind of stuff, has to be pollinated by something, and like 90% of that pollination happens by honeybees. They're kind of important, right? Yeah? I mean, it's kind of cool. And then they make honey, and that's just stinking delicious. All right. So that's kind of about me. But the other day, I was telling you that I was looking up these honeybees, and I sat down, and I had my my iPad out, and I searched honeybees and YouTube, right? And beekeeping, like basic beekeeping, right? And so I watched this video, and I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And of course, there's like a video on the side, right? That's like beekeeping 2. So I like click on that one, right? And then on the side, there's like capturing bees. Okay, so there's a whole thing where basically if bees get lost, they just all swarm together. That's what a swarm of bees are. And they just basically don't have a leader, and you can capture them and give them a leader. And you can, so anyway, so there's these rednecks, all right? There's beekeeping rednecks that have this YouTube channel where they like go out and just do crazy things to capture bees. But it's just like a hobby. So it's these guys like rescuing these bees out of people's walls and stuff, right? So like if there's a bee infestation, they'll like break down the walls. But these are just like total rednecks, right? But so they're getting stung all this time and everything, and it's stinking hilarious, and I'm kind of obsessed with it. And I spend like 2 hours watching videos of these guys extract bees from houses and trees and all this stuff. And in that point, I realize, I'm like, I'm living vicariously through these guys. Like, I would love to do what they're doing. But here's the thing. I kind of got bored watching the videos. So I'm watching the videos on my iPad, right? I'm sitting on my couch watching videos on my, this is my day off, by the way. This isn't like when I'm supposed to be working, okay? So I'm sitting there watching on my iPad, and I pull out my phone and I start like going through Instagram. So I'm watching bee videos and going through Instagram. And I'm living vicariously through the bee people, and I'm also living vicariously through all these people that I'm like following on Instagram, right? So it's like 15 seconds of somebody's perfect day, right? Because everybody on Instagram just has perfect days, right? Nobody ever has a bad day on Instagram. So I felt like I had this relationship with these bee people, and I felt like I had this relationship with all these people on Instagram, but I didn't really have a relationship in that moment with any of the people that I had spent like 3 hours building this relationship with, right? Right? So tonight, like I said, we're going to talk about relationships. Now, I want you guys to stay awake, okay? Stay awake. I know that I can be dull. We're going to stay awake. What is a relationship? Relationship is the coming together of two people, things, or ideas, right? So if you have thing one, thing two, relationship, right? Relationship. So when they're two together. So from now on, I want to try something real quick. On the count of three, I want you guys to clap once, a single time, and it has to be perfectly in unison. Okay? You ready for it? Ready? One, two, three. That was terrible. Okay, we're going to try it one more time, maybe a couple more times, but here's the deal. You can clap once, just one clap. It's just like, right? One clap. So pause, no clapping, no clapping. No clapping, thank you. All right, so what we're gonna do is I'm gonna say one, two, three, and then we're gonna clap once. Once, just once, just once. One, two, three. That was better. Not more than once, come on. This is last try, last try. If you don't get this, we're not doing this, okay? Last one. One, two, three. Okay, I'll let it pass. So here's the deal. Every time I say the word relationship, I want a single clap. Okay, we're gonna try it here. Relationship. So we're gonna do like relationship pause, right? Okay, so here we go. Relationship. One clap, one clap. Relationship. Okay, so the entire rest of this talk, every time that I say the word relationship, you guys are gonna clap once. Are we good with that? Relationship. Awesome. So, we're going to go into the scripture. Now, this is kind of like a midterm, but from a long time ago. This is like a comprehensive test right now. How did Ryan teach us to study the Bible? Yes. Was that you? What does it stand for?
He doesn't know.
Does anybody know? It's SOAP. He said it right. What does SOAP stand for? Scripture, observe,
apply.
Pray. Yes, awesome. So we are going to SOAP a passage of scripture about relationships. Nice. Okay, so here's the deal. If you have a Bible, I want you to open it up to Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Okay, Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. I don't have it on the screen because I want you guys to listen, okay? If you have your Bible, pull it up. If you don't, just listen to me, all right? So either eyes on the Bible or eyes on me, okay? Here we go, 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Yes? We got the scripture? Cool. So, what's O stand for?
Observe.
All right, let's just take a look real quick at kind of the context of what we're doing here. So, this is following a time when these Sadducees, these guys, are asking these ridiculous questions, okay? Like crazy ridiculous questions. You guys take like standardized test things, right?
Yeah.
So you guys have taken a test where it's like, okay, if A equals 35 and B equals 36, according to the Pythagorean theorem, how long would it take a 2003 Toyota Corolla to stop on Steubner Airline Road, right? It's like a question that makes absolutely no sense, but you're supposed to know how it goes, right? You guys have taken a test like that? Okay, cool. So this is what the Sadducees are trying to do to Jesus. They're trying to like trip him up and ask him like a crazy question that doesn't make sense. And he gives this like really awesome answer. So then, to justify them, this other group of people, the Pharisees, come in. They're like, oh, okay, we have a question. What's the greatest commandment? And let me tell you, this is what rocked their world. So let's, this much of the Bible right here is what exists at this point in time. Okay? So this much is what exists when this conversation is happening. Okay? So at that point, basically Jesus says what? On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So this is the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, right? Basically, Jesus just said that love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself is all this says. I mean, it's a really, really extensive thing. So this is kind of blowing their mind, right? They kind of get a little bit frustrated, a little bit questioned about it. It's like, how can he say that that's all it is, right? So it's just kind of crazy that he would consider something as vast as the Old Testament as simple as those two sentences, okay? So what was the A? So those are our observations of the scripture, okay? What's the A? Apply. Okay, this is where I want to spend most of my time and where we can sit and apply this. So the first one that he says is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay? So that's kind of the first section. It says love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So I want to categorize that as your relationship. Ah, lost some of you guys. I categorize that as your relationship with Christ. Okay? So the first thing is your relationship with Christ. Yes. So the biggest question is who is Jesus? Who is this Christ? Right? So, in Colossians, which is one of my favorite scriptures right here, at the beginning of Colossians, it says, this is Colossians 1:15. It's talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things are created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, that's all of us, right? You, me, this. You were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a minister. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture because it says who Jesus is. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's God. He's all the fullness of God. He is a savior, and he is our advocate. So those are kind of the five things that I see when I look at that. So that's who Jesus is. Now, how do I build a relationship with Jesus? There was like three relationships right there. How do I build a relationship with Christ? Awesome. Okay. So the first one is you need to spend time with somebody to build a relationship, right? To build a relationship, you need to spend time with somebody. Yes, it would be hard for me to be like, you know, I want to be your friend. See ya. Does that make us like bros? Yeah. No, it doesn't. A relationship takes some time, right? It takes an investment. So what I encourage you guys to do to build a relationship with Christ is through a quiet time, a time that is set aside specifically to spend time in your relationship with Jesus, right? And that quiet time can include prayer. And this is my biggest thing about prayer. So many times our prayers are like this. Dear Jesus, give me this, give me this, can I have this, and please make so-and-so stop doing this. Amen. Who is that prayer about? Me. That's right. So in your prayer, just like in a conversation with somebody, if I sat down here and I just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and I never listened to what you said ever, would you enjoy that at all? Would that be a good relationship? Thank you. It would not be a good relationship because it's just one-sided. She's ready for it whenever it happens. She's like... So, when you spend time in prayer, you want to make sure that you spend time in worship in that. God, I praise you for you are good, you are creator, you are my sustainer. All those things that were in that previous passage. You are God, you are my savior, you're my advocate. Spend time in prayer. And we talked about prayer in the fall, so I know that you guys know about that. The last thing is journaling. This is really cool. So I am an avid journaler. Also an avid grammar freak. But I love to journal. And the reason why is not just because I like to write my deepest, darkest secrets on paper, which is not really what a journal to me is. A journal is me writing down my prayers. I love to write my prayers. I write down sermon notes. I take this with, not this specific one, this is an old one. I take it with me when I go to church. I do my quiet times. I write my prayers down in it and everything. And what's cool about it is this is a journal from when I worked at a camp like 4 or 5 years ago. And what's cool is that I can now look back and I can see in my own writing the things that I have prayed about, the things that I have been passionate about, the things that have bothered me, the things that I have seen God working in a mighty, mighty way. And I'm not going to read it to you, but I was telling Ryan earlier, I thought it was kind of funny. I was just glancing through this because I was going to bring this up as an example. And I found a little note about how I was ready. I wanted to marry Stephanie. And this was and I looked at the date and it was 6 weeks after we started dating. It's on paper. I'm just saying. All right. So that's so sweet. So that's how we can build a relationship with Jesus Christ. So after we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what's the first one? With who? Jesus. Because it's love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your strength. The next one is, and love your neighbor. We're gonna get there in a second, okay? All right, so love your neighbor. All right, who's my neighbor? Interestingly enough, what? Interestingly enough, somebody asks that to Jesus, says, well then, who's my neighbor? And then he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, right? You guys are familiar with the Good Samaritan? Yeah, so this guy's like injured on the side of the road and these people walk by and don't help him, and finally this random guy comes by and like picks him up and bandages his wounds. Yes, so that's the Good Samaritan. That's who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is anyone. Anyone. Everybody in this room is your neighbor. I'm your neighbor. Ryan's your neighbor. Yes, okay. So your family is your neighbor. Okay? Now let me talk about family. Family are the people that are closest to you. Okay? I understand that a lot of people have different images and views of family, right? But your family is your neighbor, okay? So we're going to treat them well, treat them with respect. In the Bible, Jesus takes care of his mother even from the cross, right? You guys remember this? He's on the cross and he looks down and basically makes sure that Jesus is taken care of in that moment. So your family, your friends are the people that you hang out with, right? The people that you know. The other one is anyone else, others, strangers, enemies, neighbors, right? We're going to love our neighbors, right? So how do we build a relationship? Pause. Nope, just one clap. Just one clap. Build a relationship with our neighbors. The first one is really easy. Be pleasant. Be like a normal, nice human being. Don't be a jerk. Can we just say that? Just don't be a jerk, okay? All right, so that's easy. The next step is a little bit harder than that. Listen up. It's a little bit harder than that. It's be an encouragement, okay? Ephesians 4:29 says, basically, the gist is don't say anything that's not encouraging or that helps build people up. So a really, really easy way to build relationships is to be encouraging. One clap, please. One clap, please. Thank you. So, be an encouragement. The last one, be present. You need to be present. So, let me just call you guys out on something real quick, and I'm calling myself out on this too. If you're sitting at dinner or at a movie or at somebody's house and you look around the room and everybody's doing this, you're not being present. I'm just being honest. You're not being present, okay? That's not having a relationship with somebody. That's having a relationship with other people that you're currently not even with, right? You're trying to impress people or, listen up, guys, listen up. You're trying to impress people or you're being, trying to live vicariously through people that you're not even with at that point in time. So I encourage you to be, the best way that I say is, somebody told me this one time, hang up and hang out, right? Hang up and hang out. Get off your phone and hang out. Technology isn't bad. Let me clear that out first. Technology is not bad at all. I use technology every day. I work almost totally paperless. So if I have to print something out, it's like not a big deal. I have all kinds of apps and all kinds of stuff. The only thing that I really use paper for is journal, and then when I do notes for something I'm talking on. So, but I want to show you guys this video real quick. It's a couple minutes long. So if we can play that video real quick, it would be awesome.
Did you know the average person spends 4 years of his life looking down at his cell phone? Kind of ironic, ain't it? How these touch screens can make us lose touch. But it's no wonder in a world filled with iMacs, iPads, and iPhones, so many eyes, so many selfies, not enough us's and we's. See, technology has made us more selfish and separate than ever. Cause while it claims to connect us, connection has gotten no better. And let me express first, Mr. Zuckerberg, not to be rude, but you should reclassify Facebook to what it is, an anti-social network. Cause while we may have big friend lists, so many of us are friendless all alone. Cause friendships are more broken than the screens on our very phones. We sit at home on our computers, measuring self-worth by numbers of followers and likes. Ignoring those who actually love us, it seems we'd rather write an angry post and talk to someone who might actually hug us. Am I bugging? You tell me, cause I asked a friend the other day, let's meet up face to face. They said, all right, what time you wanna Skype? I responded with OMG, SRS, and then a bunch of SMHs, and realized, what about me? Do I not have the patience to have conversation without abbreviation? This is the generation of media overstimulation. Chats have been reduced to snaps. The news is 140 characters. Videos are 6 seconds at high speed. And you wonder why ADD is on the rise faster than 4G LTE. But get a load of this. Studies show the attention span of the average adult today is 1 second lower than that of a goldfish. So if you're one of the few people or aquatic animals that have yet to click off or close this video, congratulations. Let me finish by saying you do have a choice, yes. But this one, my friends, we cannot autocorrect. We must do it ourselves. Take control or be controlled. Make a decision. Me? No longer do I want to spoil a precious moment by recording it with a phone. I'm just gonna keep them. I don't want to take a picture of all my meals anymore. I'm just gonna eat them. I don't want the new app, the new software, or the new update. And if I want to post an old photo, who says I have to wait until Thursday? I'm so tired of performing in the pageantry of vanity and conforming to this accepted form of digital insanity. Call me crazy, but I imagine a world where we smile when we have low batteries. Cause that'll mean we'll be one bar closer to humanity.
So it's a really, really cool image. I love when he says people are sitting at home measuring their self-worth based on their, basically on their social media. How many likes do you get? How many shares do you get? How many comments do you get? How many emojis do you get in your responses, right? People are basing their self-worth, and that's the last thing that I want to talk to you guys about, and that is your relationship with yourself. So here's the thing. So many people have such a skewed vision of who they are that they can't even think about having a true relationship with God or a true relationship with someone else. Okay? So I want you to think about humility. It's a loaded word. Humility does not mean, oh, I'm so terrible. You're so much better than I am. That's not humility. Okay? Humility is having an accurate view of yourself. Not overly inflated, not, I am the best, right? Not underinflated, not, gosh, I can't do anything right. It's an accurate view of yourself. So the question is, who really are you? Ladies, let me talk to you first. Ladies, you're a daughter of a king. What does that make you? Princess, right? You're the daughter of a king. You're a princess. The Bible says that you are more precious than jewels, that you are beautiful, that you are strong, that you are worthy of love, right? That is who you are. If you want to look for examples of the Bible of women, first, read Proverbs 31. It says wife, but it applies to woman in general, okay? Secondly, if you want examples of women in the Bible, Sarah, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, these are all people who made huge impacts for the kingdom as women. Men, let me talk to you. You are a son of the king. What does that make you? That's right. You are strong. You are entrusted with wisdom, with clarity, right? You are entrusted to be leaders, to be strong. There are many, many strong men in the Bible. Think of David, think of Gideon, think of Nehemiah. The amazing thing is these aren't perfect people. These are people who have been redeemed by Christ or by God, okay? So what I want you guys to do is to realize that your worth comes from your Savior. Your worth does not come from others or your social media, okay? Here's the ultimate thing that I want you guys to think about when you think about your relationship with yourself. When you think of yourself, I want you to have this thought. I am worth dying for. Okay? Here's the thing. And we're not going to do any more clapping, okay? We good? No more clapping? Time out on the game. Okay. You are worth dying for because Jesus came down from heaven to be a savior. He is the creator of the universe, the sustainer. What are those things that I said? Creator. He's sustainer. He is God. He is our advocate. He is our savior. He is all of those things, and yet he wants to have a personal relationship with you guys. He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Now, when we talk about who has an accurate view of you, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says that no one is good, not even one. So if you do not have that with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk to you after this, okay? Because that's the most important. For you to have a relationship with God, a relationship with others, you must first have a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? So I want to pray with you guys. If you've never made that prayer, if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and to make that relationship official, I would really encourage you to do that as we pray. I'm going to lead you through a quick prayer, and I would love to talk to you afterwards. I know that Ryan and Timmy would also love to talk to you afterwards, okay? We're going to pray together, and then Ryan's going to come up and give us a few announcements.